I'm all about that fuss-free glam. Give me makeup that's versatile and feels like air on my skin and has ingredients that love my face, that's good for my face. You know, clean ingredients. And don't even get me started on mascaras because I do want them bold and lengthening. And so we have Thrive Cosmetics, which I've been using since 2020, obviously because I appreciate their foolproof products that make it really easy to apply for any skill level. And they have a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look, but also they give back. Every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive, hence why it's Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E, Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty skincare are not just makeup brands, they're a whole vibe. They're all about empowering us to rock our confidence, and when you support them, we are helping other communities thrive. Their stuff is not only easy to use, but no nasties, zero parabens, sulfites, phthalates. They are 100% vegan and cruelty-free. Let's talk lashes. Thanks to Thrive's liquid lash extensions, I must say that my lashes are just so beautiful and lush. It adds length, there are no clumps, and also guess what? It slides right off with warm water, so no raccoon eyes here. And I appreciate they have nourishing ingredients that support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And it's a unique formula they use that creates these tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. We've had problems in the past with the link, but the link does work now. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order.
Just get still, meditate on how you reacted. To get still with that, you begin to get in touch with the emotions, and then you begin to get in touch with images of past future that are really threatening, and you begin to see why you felt that way. But how do I react when I believe the thought? I get in touch with emotions, and then I begin to see how I treated that person. Did I give them the look, or did my personality just shut down? And if I've done my work, when that shows up in my mind's eye again, I don't feel hurt or unacknowledged. I don't feel those emotions. When that shows up, that event shows up in my mind's eye again, I feel connected to that person and grateful.
Hello, hello, Gemma, Gemma Yomis. It is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And back in 2018, I was nestled in a small flat in Kensington, London, quite a cozy space, with a very tiny bathroom, the tiniest bathroom. But this tiny bathroom holds a secret. I mean, it had decent acoustics for recording, better than the rooms, so I would record all of these truly magical conversations in there. But one of them just really happens to shine very bright in my heart and in my memory. And today I felt a very powerful nudge to revisit it. At the time, this was one I needed to hear as I was grappling with my own inner turmoil, and I was in the throes of my Saturn return, struggling to find solid ground and honestly some inner peace. Because, well, as you embark on a quote-unquote spiritual journey, right, for the first time, or you're really consciously doing it, you often face many tests and confront many shadows. The universe really does love to test you during this time, and so let me tell you, I was just knee-deep in it. I was knee-deep in it. That is why I ran across the world to London to be by myself. It was kind of a dark period, I'd say. And this podcast episode was definitely a beacon of light in my healing journey. And so this episode featured none other than Byron Katie. You may perhaps know of her. She is an American speaker and author renowned for her method of self-inquiry, aptly named the work of Byron Katie. And through her organization, Byron Katie International, she's created sanctuaries like the School for the Work and Turnaround House in Ojai, California. And Time Magazine even rightfully hails her as a spiritual innovator for the 21st century. So it was beautiful to just sit alone with Byron Katie's energy and hear her talk about the four profound questions that help strip us down to our core truths. And it's not about what the world asserts as truth, but rather what resonates within us. So with Byron Katie's guidance, in this episode, we embark on a journey to mend our hearts and dissolve our grievances. And it's a process of healing, of reconnecting, and ultimately it is of rediscovery. And so my deepest hope is that, like me, that you will find some solace and transformation through the nuggets of wisdom that she happens to impart on us. And this episode, among the constellation of others, stands as truly one of the most beautiful, helpful, and cherished in the history of the podcast. And so for the old listeners, it's definitely one worth re-listening to. Not the old, but the people who have been around listening to the podcast for a while. This is definitely worth the re-listen. And for the new, well, I'm very happy to introduce this one to you if you haven't heard this one already. And so today, it finds its way to you for a reason, just as it did for me back in that small Kensington tiny bathroom. So with all that being said, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Byron Katie. Hi.
Hi, Raquel.
Hello, Katie.
Hi.
Hearing your voice right now is amazing. You are true, pure magic and beauty and love and light. And I'm so honored right now.
Oh my gosh, you are living in what most people would call like the magic zone, but it's not. It's just connection, isn't it?
It's just the way it's supposed to be. It's all love and connection.
Yeah, and to see that and understand it, people call magic and it's the ordinary.
You know what this podcast is called? Your Own Magic.
I'm in the right place.
You're in the right place because we want to hear your magic. Katie, and your story. That is what really, really connected me to you, because your story is so profound and it may help listeners shift their lens of perception. You know, someone who may be listening may be experiencing betrayal or fear or worthiness or sadness or severe depression like you had experienced for a long time. And during this dark time in your life, one day you just, woke up in essentially. Do you mind walking us through this part of your life a bit and what shifted?
Well, you know, it was all that depression and pain and suffering that you pointed to, and then I saw in a moment, just this moment of grace, Raquel, I saw the cause of all suffering, and in that moment, it's like the first thing out of that. Seen so clearly that grace shown to me, the first thing that happened in that new life, it was like a switch. Yeah. And it was laughter. It just started pouring out of me. It's like, why didn't someone tell me sooner? Why is that? Why? It's so simple that an idiot can't miss it. And yet, I was a 43-year-old idiot, and of course, it was just, I mean, I only use the word idiot to say how simple it is to go from one life to another. And I do call what I found the work, so it does take time in time, but it's available to all of us. You know, in this world, there is suffering, and there is a cause to the suffering. And that's what I saw on the floor. And the cause of that suffering is what I'm thinking and believing. That's the cause of my suffering. It's the cause of my joy. But the cause of my suffering that kept me from seeing this gift of life. And then there is a way out of suffering.
Yes.
So clearly, there's a way out of believing those thoughts. And of course, that's to question them. And that's the way out. And there's something for everyone, but this was what was shown to me. And because it was a gift I did nothing for, my job is to simply pass that gift on. And through amazing people like you, Raquel, and all the people that appreciate you and what you bring.
Oh my gosh, Byron, I am smiling from ear to ear right now. That is true. We just need to realize, like, we are experiencing, we can just shift to pure joy and laughter. I love those moments where I'm just having a laugh attack and I just feel like I am living.
Yeah.
And you're right. It can be so simple. That's actually why I love your questions. So, because your questions, they have helped millions of people from all over the world, including myself.
Yeah. And the key is an open mind because, you know, people can ask me a question, but am I interesting enough to hear the question and not just shoot from the hip with an answer? But to contemplate from, you know, what is that for me? What is that for me? And then to answer out of that. And then sometimes, you know, we're afraid sometimes to do that because it hurts feelings, maybe we think, or it this or that. So this work is something we can do alone and be that honest, ourself with ourself. And like if someone says, Katie, you're unkind, and I might say, you know, well, knowing me, I'd say, oh, tell me more. I want to take care of that if I missed it, you know, pointed out to me. But let's say prior to what was so clear to me on the cause of suffering, but let's say in that old life, we can call it in this moment.
Yes, the old life.
Yeah, that someone would say there's something wrong with you, and I would immediately, like I was on some kind of automatic, begin to defend, and then I would start to accuse them of being unkind, uncaring, and sensitive. And today when someone says that, you know, if I can't, someone says I'm unkind, in that moment, you know, or in that situation, was I unkind? And if I don't see it truly, I want to say, you know, point it out to me, because obviously, you know, I don't see it. And that makes, you know, I don't want to be that insensitive person. And then they can point it out to me. And in that, Raquel, they have enlightened me to what I was missing. And that changes my life. Because it's information I needed that I was asleep to, or what we say as in denial to. But when we sit alone with these four questions, they are powerful. But you've got to really want to know the truth from within yourself, not what the world would say is true, but your own experience, your own truth. And I think that's why the work is so popular. It's a way to be self-realized other than world-realized. I mean, look at the opinions that fly around, and we're trying to utilize all of them so we can look good, look smart, look wise, look kind, look caring, and the truth is all those things, and all we need to do is just sit alone with ourselves or with a facilitator and, you know, someone familiar with the work. Or, you know, it's always free on thework.com. Anything, if I have anything of value, it's free and it's there. And it's in, I think, 32 or 36 different languages. So
wow.
It's available.
Oh my gosh, I love that you make this work free. And it really, that's the way it has reached so many people. And especially because we can get triggered. I know that when people point stuff out about me that I might not have been aware of before, like you said, if somebody said that I had hurt them in some way, because, you know, we all wear a different lens of perception. We all
do.
We can't always see clearly or step outside of ourselves and see clearly until we practice some sort of self-inquiry. But you have these four questions that are just so profound, yet so simple.
Yeah, I refer to them as checkmate.
I love it. Checkmate.
The mind just going through its own tricks to find a love affair with itself.
Oh, yeah.
Like you, when you were laughing, I could just see you so clearly just cracking up and laughing, just that spontaneous, amazing laughter you were describing that's so beautiful. It's like, look at what you were thinking in there. Your mind is free. Your laughter is free.
Yes, it's so free. I love it. And then that's when you're like your truest, most authentic self in pure love. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's no enemy in that.
Yes. I bet the people that are not familiar with your work are wondering what these four questions are.
So the first question is it true? And let's say you're in a situation where someone interrupted you and you were talking to, you know, three or four friends, all of you hanging out, and someone interrupted you and you were in the middle of something that you thought at the moment was really important or funny, and they just interrupted you and just put a dead stop to what you were trying to move forward. So they were unkind. So is it true? Is the first question. And then you get another chance at it. Can you really know that it's true? that they are unkind, that they were being unkind even in the moment. So you just contemplate that. You know, the work is inquiry. So we just contemplate it. And then the third question, just get still, meditate on how you reacted when you believed the thought they were unkind, that they interrupted you.
Mm-hmm.
And to get still with that, you begin to get in touch with the emotions that happened. And then you begin to get in touch with images of past future that are really, you know, threatening, and you begin to see why you felt that way. But how do I react when I believe the thought? I get in touch with emotions, and then I begin to see how I treated that person. Did I give them the look, or did my personality just shut down, or did I just take my best friend and say, let's leave? You know, I get to watch this hindsight now. And then the fourth question, who would I be in that situation without the thought that person is unkind, that person interrupted me? And then witness that. It's like dropping the story, being there in that situation exactly the way it happened, only without your judgment on it. And oh, the power of that. You know, if someone interrupts me, I've got enough work in me that if someone interrupts me, I am relieved. It's like, what do I have to say that more important than anyone else? Or you know, if we love stillness, it's an opportunity for stillness. Someone says, Katie, be quiet. I go, oh, thank you. It's like, why didn't I think of that?
Wow, you have really let that ego go. That is so great.
But it's the magic of, you know, going back to like your own, it's the magic of what really is going on as opposed to what we think or believe is going on. And then, you know, the next time we see that person in our mind's eye, when we're believing those stories onto them, the next time we see that person in our mind's eye, we don't want to include them in our at the next gathering. Mm-hmm. And the next time we see them in our mind's eye, we feel separate. We feel hurt again. And because that situation shows up in our mind's eye, and it's no longer happening, it's as though one wasn't enough. It just keeps showing up and showing up until, for me, until I got it resolved. And if I've done my work, when that shows up in my mind's eye again, I don't feel hurt or unacknowledged, or I don't feel those emotions. When that shows up, that event shows up in my mind's eye again, I feel connected to that person and grateful. And I can't find an exception to that. And that really sounds crazy to people.
No.
You really have to know the true nature of the universe. And once you experience that, then you always have a reference point for where inquiry is going to take you. And it's not into a positive affirmation. You can drop all that. It is real. It's embodied. It's realized, and it is your nature, and it's a fearless state of mind, and you know, the ego's thing is all about fear. So it is a beautiful thing to have a mind that is not at war with itself.
Oh my gosh, I'm holding my heart right now.
Oh.
Exactly what I needed to hear, because my mind, it's not so much about others attacking me, it's more so I have my own inner mean girl.
You do it well enough yourself.
Yes, exactly. I do it on myself. I'm like,
That is so darling. Your own internal mean girl. Oh, honey. Yeah.
But the good news is that with these thoughts, I am able to recognize that this is just a negative thought that is causing my suffering and pain, but it's really not true. And that's the easy part, is to recognize that thought is not true.
Yeah, as long as there's no denial in it.
Well, that's the part. Yeah, to declare really that. Yes.
It. Yeah, that when you say it, it's just like, oh yeah,
yeah,
and it's and then it just keeps getting softer and softer until finally that mean girl, you know, turned out to be our best friend, because without that push, how can we be free?
Yeah, we need the contrast to really recognize the freedom. Yeah. That's so true. And I realized the more I shifted it, the more I was able to really release it. Because I used to just, when my mean girl would kick in and I'd be surrounded by people, I would wear an invisible cloak and start to shrink and dim my sparkle. And lately, especially the past few weeks, I've been living my sparkle and living fully. And it's because of really when I recognize her come back in, even yesterday, I'm serious. Even yesterday, I just lay down the grass and stared at the sky, coming back to myself. And sometimes it just really does take time.
Yeah. And patience and self-care and respect and, you know, respect for the mind, respect for the ego. You know, love is the power. And until we meet our ego with that unconditional love, and for me, that means to understand the ego. So to question what we're thinking and believing is to question the ego, and it gets still. And it really, really does turn out to be the teacher that takes us home.
Meet the ego with unconditional love. You never hear many people saying that, but that's so profound and can change everything.
Well, if love is the power, it's not love is the power except or other than. No, it's an all the way thing. And I don't know how many people have discovered that, but it's certainly, you know, it's my experience. So I have to go there.
Wow. And I'm also sure that someone listening can think of someone in their mind who they love so much. I know I can, that they know that person is sitting in pain daily and perhaps in severe depression, and may resist tools like the work for whatever reason. I'm sure resistance is so common, or even apprehension to dive deep into these simple questions, because they may fear the answers. But how do we encourage them to do it?
Well, to go to the website. And, you know, the work.com, and just, you know, all the instructions are there, and just to try it on, and just to, you know, it doesn't need anyone, just a little willingness to just sit in the directions there, those simple directions, and to try it on. And also we have an helpline that is, it's 100% free, and
of course,
we don't try to sell you anything. It's just, if you've filled in a worksheet, and how to do that is on the work.com. They're it's a way to identify your thoughts. So you have your thoughts on paper, and you can call the helpline, and they'll support you in a facilitation. And again, they don't ask your name or where you're from. And or you can just sit in it yourself alone. And it's just, again, all the instructions there. And I have a school for the work, and the next one is October. And I have for people that are in non-duality, they have that interest. Then we have a no body coming up. And tomorrow, you know, I have every third Thursday morning Pacific time, I have a free event, and it's it goes all over the web, and everyone's invited just to sit in the work for a couple of hours.
Oh my gosh, Tribe, let's do it. I love that.
It's so sweet. I do it every Thursday from this little center downtown Ojai, and a few people show up live, and then you know, the family all over the world that just want a kinder life.
I am indeed attending when I'm back in California this year. That is now on my list. And I love, by the way, I just really need to acknowledge you for the fact that you work intimately with people in group sittings, which, you know, has the greatest impact on individual lives. And that's pretty rare for many teachers that have their work out there. So thank you for being somebody that does that intimately. And I can tell that you just truly just love people. You are so present with me. I can feel that. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I haven't met a human I haven't loved in about 30 years.
Oh, my gosh. See, I feel so good. And this is just pure love. This is the way life and connection needs to be.
Oh, truly, truly, truly. Oh, my gosh. And you know, I somehow by some grace, you know, we all have a right to this.
Yeah, we do. We all do.
Yeah. But oh boy, you know, when we sit in those questions, oh my goodness, a lot of tears and a lot of joy, but as the ego dies, it's a shift. Every time you do the work, it's a shift in identification. We go from like mean girl to kinder girl, kinder girl, kinder girl. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden mean girl pops up again, and so, oh, good one. I'll put that on paper, and I'll sit and just put those four questions up against what I wrote down, the thought I was thinking.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, she does get nicer after a while.
Yeah, well, you know, she just, thoughts have a right to life.
Oh, yeah.
And mean girl thoughts have a right to life. So, you know, how else can we feel them, become aware of them enough to question them? And that's what they're for. In my experience, they appear so that we can question them and set ourselves, set those thoughts free as a part of our identification. It just shifts and shifts and shifts, and kinder world, kinder world, kinder world. You know, no two people have the same world. So if I don't like my world, I need to question what I believe about my world. And I don't expect people to do the same, but we all share what we have. And, you know, just by living our life, if, you know, we live, we teach what we're living. And so to be an example of a kinder self in our life is something we all aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
But the ego would say, you know, we believe something hurtful. The ego would just really convince us that we're right. And others are wrong about it. They just don't understand.
And it's interesting, even if we wear, for example, I know I wear many tools on my spiritual tool belt, I say, mm-hmm. but sometimes, because, you know, I am human after all, I do sometimes slip and spiral down and crawl back into a cave and isolate myself. Well, I'm curious, have you ever experienced any more pain or suffering since that enlightening day and shift since the work?
You know, I can't say that. Oh, you know, I have to be honest here. Absolutely not. Nothing. Not absolutely not. But it doesn't mean that I still don't have work to do, because mind is infinite.
Mm.
And when we get stuck in what we believe, it hurts because we're trying to remain small when we actually are in the infinite. And so to question it frees us up to just fly again. So infinite is infinite. So it doesn't end. But what happens is it shifts from I love that expression, from mean girl to free girl.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like the name of a book.
And it's just amazing to see what free girl is capable of. She has no idea when she's in Egoland.
Oh.
Legoland, Egoland.
Oh my gosh. I love that. And I know when I'm really truly my free girl, and it's the best feeling. And it'd be nice to have that daily. Like right now, this past few weeks, I've been feeling that sparkle again after being in a cave for so long. It's amazing though. It's amazing how we can, the more we do this work, the easier it gets. Ladies, we all have different symptoms that time of the month. For me, my energy level happens to just dip insanely, and I just feel a little down, you know, a little sluggish. And so I'm happy to share Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, and they are dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And so here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So, Hormone Harmony is for any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances, and it's perfect for symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas when you have no desire to get in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean, and also hot flashes and night sweats if you happen to be going through menopause. It's really great for women with menopause. So yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MAGIC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MAGIC for 15% off today. Your hormones will thank you. Okay, this is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion, and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. and I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. I do have a question about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Ooh, this is a big one, and it can be a tough pill for many people to swallow. But one of my best friends has about a handful of people that she is just trying to forgive. And it's hard. It's really, really hard. And she feels betrayed. And she's been publicly, you know, attacked. And when she sees people speak about her, or when she sees these certain people talk about her to the world, her stomach just feels sick and knotted, and she wants to forgive, and she intends to forgive, and you know, she asks to forgive, and she never ever attacks them back, or she never talks to them, but she just wants to let it go and forgive. So, but why is forgiveness one of our most challenging experiences, and how can we begin to shift that feeling into love?
Well, the thoughts I'm believing, let's say someone wronged me, and the whole world would agree that that person wronged me. It's just so obvious that person wronged me. Well, it's not obvious to me because I've got an inquiring mind.
Yeah.
I've got to sit down. I have got to identify what I am believing about that person. And write those thoughts down. That way my thinking now has come into the material world. There it is on paper. So it doesn't move and shift like mine does. Mine makes excuses. It makes nice. It makes mean. It makes, but there are my thoughts solidly down. That's what I was thinking and believing about that person that did me wrong. Now I question those thoughts. I put each one of them. Every thought deserves to be heard. And I put that thought up against these four questions. And every question is, it's like meditating on, like, that person ruined my reputation.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it true?
Mm.
Now, that takes a little meditating on, you know, is it true? Well, let's see. Some people haven't seen the, you know, the slander, the slander. Some people overlook it. Some people just look at it and go, oh, that's silly. Some, you know, and we begin to see how maybe we focused on maybe three or four primary ideas and, I mean, people. And, but anyway, we're meditating on, you know, what we're believing about that person. And so is it true? Can I really know? Can I absolutely know that it's true that they hurt my reputation? And then when I ponder that, you know, my answer after pondering it, it could be yes or it could be no. But it's whatever, you know, I could think, oh, you know, if I'm really going to get somewhere, it's got to be no. No, that is airy fairy. This is you with you.
I'm glad you
said
that.
At the end of that meditating on that question, they hurt my reputation. Is it, or ruin my reputation? Is it true? The answer that arises is that's it. And so you write it down just so you can hold it, just yes or no. It's only one syllable. It's not yes, but, or no, because. It's just yes or no. So to get that still in it. And then the third question, notice how you react. What happens to your life when you believe the thought they ruined your reputation? And then you just sit in that and you see where depression comes from, and you see why you just go into your bedroom and close the door and take ice cream with you. Mm-hmm. You see, you see where you smoke the cigarette you said you'd never smoke again. You see how you react, how you double up, how your children come into the bedroom and go, mommy, mommy, and you go, leave me alone, I don't feel good. Or, you know, it just, we see how we react when we believe the thought and what happens to our lives and how we treat others. And then who would I be when I have contemplated and I am courageous enough, this work takes courage, to see myself and how I react when I believe the thought. And then the fourth question, who would I be without the thought that they have ruined my reputation? And then when I contemplate that, I'm shown we don't have to answer these questions. All four of these questions are answered in the stillness. They're shown to us through images and you know, what you're tapping into is yourself, and it is powerful. And that's where we find forgiveness. That's where it is. Now, look what I've done. It's like they hurt my reputation, but look what I am doing to my life.
Yeah.
Whether they have hurt my reputation or not ceases to be the big deal. Look what I am doing to my reputation now.
Yes. And just you can let it
into
go.
My own little. Yeah. And then when we turn it around, they've ruined my reputation, and we find opposites. I'm ruining my reputation. You know, and I'm ruining their reputation. Every time I think of them, I'm just slamming them.
Yeah.
In my mind's eye and wondering why I can't forgive them.
Wow.
And then when someone says, you know, what do you think about those people on the internet that said those things about you? You know, if I've done my work, I can honestly say, you know, I can find my part in it. And what I meant by finding my part in that, as we're talking on Raquel, is I have seen clearly how I have hurt my reputation. I've not made phone calls on time. I've not kept my commitments up. I'm busy being depressed. Thank you.
I'm busy being depressed. Thank you.
So you know, I can see areas that I could really improve on. But as far as the things they say about me specifically, I find this not to be true and that not to be true. But you know, everyone has a right to see me the way they see me. And I'm busy working on myself. And if they need a little work, then they'll do it or not. But I can't afford a life of non-forgiveness, because like your friend, it's just so painful.
It's so painful. And it's even painful to watch her experience this.
Yeah.
Even though,
well, you know, just send her to thework.com and if she's a meditator, she'll get it right away. And
yeah.
If she's not a meditator, then if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Yes. Oh, wow. And she'll hopefully be able to just create a whole new lens of perception, a whole new reality around the situation where no matter what they say or do, because she can't control their actions or their voice or what they share with the world.
Or their minds.
Yeah. But she just...
I mean, we can't even control our own mind.
I know.
that's what she's dealing with. That's where suffering begins and ends. Like if we're sleeping at night, we're not dreaming. There's no suffering there, our hurt reputation.
Yeah.
Until the mind wakes and goes, I'm late for work. I need to get out of bed. There's something wrong with me. Oh, they ruined my reputation. And then the collapse.
Yeah. And then there's heartbreak there.
Yeah, that minefield is coming out of our own head.
You know, she's experiencing heartbreak from this, but other people too, maybe they just got out of a relationship or they are grieving over the loss of somebody. How can the work help heal and mend our hearts when we miss someone that we deeply care for?
Well, you know, all I know is to identify what you're thinking and believing, because that is the cause of grief.
Mm-hmm.
To write down the like I miss my dead mother,
mm-hmm.
and how do I react when I believe the thought? I you know, the sadness and the loneliness and you know all the things that would come up if we were to sit in the answers to that question.
Yeah.
And then who would I be without the thought that I miss my mother? And I would be noticing that I can't miss her. I mean, you probably saw an image of my mother in your head or your mother in my head, and all your viewers and listeners probably the same, mm-hmm. you know, or if I say something like, well, I'll stay here for a moment, but then I miss my mother, turned around, I don't miss my mother. And then I see an image of her again. And then when I remember when she was alive, because I'm meditating there, it shows me that when she was alive, I was imagining things on her all the time.
Wow.
That all mothers are imagined. And as long as they're imagined, do we love what we are thinking and believing as we are thinking of our mothers? And if we do, there's no loneliness there. There's no separation there. I like to say that my mother, you know, there's nothing she can do to die. She, when she was alive, she lived in me. And after she died, she lived in me. Yeah. And I'm still waiting to grieve. And I am 100% open to grieving.
Wow.
It's just, I'm too close to my mm-hmm. mother to grieve.
Wow, you know, you feel that she's there, and that's what...
Oh, well, she is, my gosh. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to the physical, there are, I'm wearing her hands.
Yeah.
And her skin color, and I mean, I could just go on and on and on and on and on. And what we wear of our mothers and fathers, or what they believed, we borrowed.
Yeah,
we attached to, and there, some of those things aren't even our property. And when we question them, we come out with our own minds.
Oh my! Wow, you're right. Because there are things that I definitely experience, and it's something that you're right that I had borrowed essentially, and.
Yeah.
But as I am shifting and changing and evolving, I'm choosing my own reality and breaking free from it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Wow. And one of them would be addictions. That is part of my past. And this one is very, very, very tricky for people.
Addictions are you know, the cause of addiction is guilt. So anytime anyone questions what they're believing, guilt just becomes something that you just are privileged enough to work through, because the cause of guilt, for example, is what I was thinking and believing about these people that like ruined my reputation on Facebook or something. And I can't get away with not forgiving them, because until I do, I feel guilt over the way I see them or the way I talk about them or the way it's insidious. And what happens when we're depressed? Addictions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and depression is nothing more than guilt. It's just gonna hang out there until we identify the cause of guilt, which is what we're thinking and believing in any specific situation that's running. And you know, like the Facebook thing, the reputation, and take care of it. And then, you know, when you're happy the way you were describing, addictions, you know, they, when you compare them, they take a back seat to what you're used to. And the more forgiveness you experience, the less need for the ego to be a source of addiction.
Wow. And also forgiving yourself would be a huge one then too, so you don't feel that guilt.
Oh, it goes with it. It goes with the territory. Whether you want to forgive yourself or not, it happens. When you think of that person, you can only think of them as you know, there are many ways of thinking of them, just gratefully. You know, every enemy I've ever had was the push I needed to just begin my journey. And that doesn't change. And until finally, you know, there are no enemies. You understand that every enemy is living in you. Like if we think of anyone that we resent, they're in our mind's eye. That's what I mean by in us. Mm-hmm. They're in our mind's eye. We can mm-hmm. see them. That's not real. So we are our own silly game.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And they're just really just this image that we have created.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And we don't do it on purpose. It just pops up and there
right,
it is.
Right.
You know, those people on the internet, never met yeah. them before in my whole life, but I see them.
Yeah.
And then I see all the people affected, even though I don't see it. You know, we're just carrying it and until it's taken care of. And oh my gosh, I love people have an opportunity mm-hmm. to sit with themselves and free themselves of these illusions that create these mean girl aspects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And my mean girl.
We sure left the mean guys out of this discussion.
Those mean guys too. They count mean girls yeah. and guys.
Because it's a state of mind and there's no gender to that.
Oh, absolutely. Another big mean girl that I sit with or sat with for over a decade. And I know this is a lot of the listeners why they were drawn to this podcast is because we talked about this a lot, but whew. Eating disorders and this idea that our worth depends on the image of our body. And it's yeah. becoming even more common, more of an epidemic today than ever before, especially with the influence of social media. But what is your experience with healing people who do
that? Well, it's just so ridiculous because no one has ever seen their own body. They see their body like if you just consider right now what you look like in your mind's eye, that's who you believe you to be.
Yeah.
And you can look in a mirror and then judge that image in the mirror, and that's who you believe you to be. And that just keeps changing and changing because no one has really seen themselves. The ego is running that show.
Yeah.
Now, if you really want to suffer, compare that body in your mind's eye with any other body. And you look around and you're always going to fall short. You're going to be, let's use the term better than, we'll say prettier than, more attractive than, or less attractive than.
Yeah.
So there's no balance in that.
Yeah, whether you're riding your high horse or you yeah. are feeling inferior.
Yes.
There's
so
no point.
Comparison is the cause of all envy and jealousy, and it's a state of mind. So for me to compare my body to anyone else's, look what I'm comparing, a body in my mind's eye. That I, you know, someone I think I look like, but inquiry will show you clearly that, or I'll say it shows me clearly that I can never be more than you believe me to be if I'm worried about how you see me.
Wow.
So you will see me as lovely. You'll see me as not. You'll see me as this. You'll see me as that. When, you know, when we look at onto a body and what you believe of me is as good as it can get for me. And if you're standing there with 10 other people, then there are 11 me's, you and 10 others.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of work to please that crowd. Because they all have different tastes. They all have different ideas about what is beautiful. And,
yeah.
and some prefer blonde or brunette or large or small. So we're in a hopeless chase.
Exactly. And we are trying to chase this perfection, supposedly. But what is perfection anyways?
Well, perfection for me is I just leave the way people see me to them.
Wow. I just leave the way people see me to them because that situation
yeah.
in and of itself is perfect.
Yeah, then that just leaves me in an honest don't know.
Yeah. no expectations on yourself or the situation.
All 11 people, how many of you see me this way? How many see, and no one's going to just see me the same. And so who am I?
Yes.
I'm who you believe me to be. And that doesn't make it me.
Exactly. And everybody, we know, I mean, I have a different idea or thought about a person than somebody else, you know, see, like a mother sees her child as the most beautiful thing when I see that person is just like a cool person.
And if I don't see myself as lovely, and by that I mean by nature, I mean at the school for the work, I ask people if you had to make a choice, would you want your body to be lovely and flexible and beautiful? Or would you prefer, if you had to make a choice, your mind to be lovely and flexible and beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the time we spend in the gym, and how little time some of us put in on working on our mind.
Yeah, and expanding our mind.
That's why I appreciate what you do, Raquel, because it points to what we can change, and that is our minds. And because bodies get old, they break, they die, all kinds of ridiculous things. But mind, if we work on that, then we're always in a perfect body. And this is, you know, this is my experience.
Oh.
It leaves me, you know, it's like, I'm good.
Yes.
I'm good. I'm good with that 75-year-old body now.
Yes. Oh, because our mind has truly embraced how we are instead of us trying to change it.
Yeah, because I still don't know how I am. It's just meaning physically.
Right.
It's but I've got a mind that I love to be with. I love to wake up with this mind and live in it.
And your soul, because this is just a temporary human suit. It's not us.
And mine is infinite.
Yes, it's infinite.
So this is, so this is just kind of a place to support its enlightenment.
Exactly. This temporary experience to support its enlightenment. Wow. I hope that this helped shifted so many minds and so many people who just view their worth depending on their body, because you're not that.
Yeah. No, it's like this body, as you believe it to be, is your teacher.
Mm.
It's whatever you're thinking and believing about it is the cause of the body you have. And I don't mean the cause of how it looks. Mm-hmm. I mean, within you, yourself, because we're going to see it the way we see it. And there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're beyond your control.
No matter what shape or size, that other people's mindset is beyond your control. And also for people that are resistant because they think that their stream of negative thoughts will just never, ever end. And so they feel so overwhelmed with everything. They like, there's so much I need to work on that they just end up giving on. How did they move beyond that thought?
I would get so excited, and as those negative thoughts came through, I would write them down again very excitedly, and then I would go to thework.com and find those four questions and turnarounds and the directions, and I'll be there somewhere to help guide you.
I love it.
And just sit in them and begin to wake up to some realities that are so far beyond what you could contemplate if you're not in the experience. And it's like a story that can't be told, but it's one that every one of your listeners can realize.
Oh yeah.
So to sit in that stream of consciousness, just one belief at a time. There's even a one belief at a time worksheet on the site for that stream of consciousness.
Oh.
And you can do just one belief at a time, question it. And there's you know, there's one there. You don't have to sign up for a newsletter. Mm-hmm. You just push print and it just comes right out of your printer and it's just immediate. And then just walk yourself through. And then it's a funny thing. It's like, but I've got millions and millions and millions of them. I can never get this done in a lifetime. I can never. Well, you know, that's just the ego again. If you question one, it shifts all the others to some extent. If you just do the next one, it shifts all the others behind that to some extent until your life becomes, you know, a more enlightened life, is a happier life, a clearer life. It's our birthright. Freedom is our birthright.
Freedom is our birthright. And it seems to be a big motif in why we even pursue the work for our happiness. How would you actually define freedom?
Well, to love everything you think.
Oh, wow.
Because to love everything you think is to love everyone you see and everything you see.
Yes.
Oh. It's our nature and it's everything. And it's what the ego's poor little lost thing is just coming up against all the time, and it's ultimately going to lose. And so it's terrified. It's coming up with all kinds of little tricks and
it is, but that's not us. Yeah, our nature is to love it all. Love everything we think. Oh my gosh. That is the best definition of freedom. Wow.
So just put that little ego on paper as it arises and question it. And it starts, it becomes very still eventually.
It does. Oh
yeah. It finds a mind at home in itself. And it finds a mind at home with itself. And then that's the end of it. It just all turned out to be a joke.
That was nonsense, ego. That was nonsense, mean girl.
Yeah. and it's we want to believe that, but I invite the world to test it. Mm-hmm. And Raquel, thank you so much for what you do in the world, and your integrity just blows my mind too, by the way you can just be real and just offer that so freely. And you know, it's like, here we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we're all working on it.
We're all working on it daily. Like, wow, that wow, I am holding my heart again, and I have major goosebumps. I'm so honored right now. Oh, I want to get to know more of actually the goddess behind you, if you don't mind doing like some quick rapid fire-ish questions. Are you perhaps in?
James, you have time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. Oh,
beautiful. Okay. Morning or night person?
Oh gosh. If I had to choose, I'd say morning.
Oh, yes, me too. And then what's your morning routine like?
Oh, the morning walk. I love my morning walk. Love walking. I love, love, love it. And then I take some in meditation. I just don't miss that, just getting still in myself. But it's something I do on the walk as well. So you can take meditation anywhere, anytime with you. And then I drink a quick breakfast. It's like a green little package. I throw in a quart jar and that takes care of my water and my
nutrients.
Whatever it does, mm-hmm. it works for me.
Good.
And I'm grateful. Yeah. And then, I come talk to you and meet James in the studio.
That is beautiful. And do you have a writing routine?
No, I don't. I don't.
You just let it flow. How about favorite city in the world?
Oh my gosh, it's always the one I'm in.
Oh, of course you would say that.
It's just, it just has to be, mm-hmm. because everything else is just an image in my head. So it's, you know, my favorite city in the world would have to be right here in Little Ojai.
Oh my gosh.
Not comparing it with a city. Yeah. Just if I were in London with you, it would have to be the same answer. I love what is. So.
I love that answer. Are you currently reading any books?
Gosh, No.
Yeah.
Gosh. No. Huh.
That's so, that's so more than fine, because I feel like you just observe life and it just, it's gifted to you, whatever you see life to be, instead of seek it, the answer.
Yeah, because there's so much of that, whether we're, if we never lost our, if we never left our homes and went out, when we love our, when we love what we're there with, our minds, then, you know, our minds take us everywhere in the world. They are, it, our minds create the world. So it's not a little thing that we're sitting in.
Yeah. Wow. Define love.
The absence of an opposite.
Mm.
The absence of the opposite of any, of anything else.
Yes. Wow. All right. Two last questions that are pretty short. The universe gave you free billboards to share one message across the main highways in major cities all around the world for everyone to see. What would these billboards read?
I think they'd be blank.
Wow. And why?
Well, no matter what words are on there, we all project a meaning onto it. So that's what we're left with.
Katie, you give me chills.
Oh, honey.
And then this is the last question I ask all the EuroMagic guests. How would you advise the EuroMagic listeners to create their own magic?
To be true to themselves and to understand what that is, to question anything less than beautiful.
That just came right out.
Lot of experience.
Katie, thank you so, so much. I am beyond thankful for all the work that you do beyond your even own work and the work. So thank you.
You are welcome. And for yours, I am eternally grateful. Bye-bye, little beautiful, wonderful pumpkin.
Oh my gosh, I feel your love. You are amazing. Thank you so much. And I'll make sure that the listeners know where to find you.
Thank you, sweetie.
Of course.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, James.
Bye.
Yomis, I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.